Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. We're here this morning to talk with the good folks at Kaiser Permanente. Is that the way you do it, John?
You bet.
Okay, and to lead us in that discussion is John Patrick. He is the director of the Federal Employees Health Benefit Plans or Program?
Program.
Okay, program. I'll get this right after 8 years. Anyway, good to see you, John. It's been a year. I think we've seen each other before that, but it's been a year since we've done the show. And so what nifty things have you all done this year and to update our listeners as to your positive points this year?
Well, we're really excited this year. We've just opened up two brand new super hubs in both Maryland and Virginia. Last year, you might remember us talking about the Capitol Hill Center that we had recently opened up in D.C., and these two new hubs in Tyson's Corner and in Gaithersburg, Maryland, are open 24 hours a day and have urgent care facilities in those centers. So it's pretty exciting. In addition to the urgent care, our pharmacy, labs, and X-ray services are all open 24 hours a day. So we're able to give most services to people when they come into our urgent care center. So it's pretty exciting.
Okay. Now, for our listeners and for me as well, you're an HMO, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And that stands for?
Health Management Organization.
All righty. And you provide, if you will, one-stop shopping? Is that a
yes, it's a different model. Kaiser Permanente is very different. And that's really because all of our services are in one place. So when you go to see your primary care physician, specialists are in there, pharmacies in there, labs are in there, X-rays in there. Most services are available in one center. But more importantly than those services all being available in that one center is that they're all connected through an electronic infrastructure. So an electronic medical record connects all those different services together. So when you go to see your primary care physician and they send you out to go get labs or go get X-rays, those labs go right into your medical record. Those X-rays go right into your medical record. So not only can your primary care physician see those labs or those X-rays or the results from whatever tests you've gotten done, but your specialist can also see those and consult with you. So it's a very unique system, and it enables us to provide better, more high quality care because of all the interconnectivity of the services that we have to offer.
If somebody was to sign up for your program that had not been in it before, can they transfer medical records from wherever they may have been into your system?
Yes, absolutely. There'll be, depending on the volume of records, they'll either be input, the data will be input, or they'll be scanned in. So, but we do capture historical information.
Okay, so in other words, if somebody was not in the program, but after today's show, they were so impressed that they'd say, gee, I'd like to go there, but all my records are somewhere else, that's not a major issue.
That's correct. And in fact, it's nice to be able to know that you can put have all of your history in your electronic medical record, and wherever you go within our system, once you're in our system, that data goes with you. So I give you an example. I live in Crofton, Maryland, and my local center and personal physician is in Annapolis. But the Annapolis office at Kaiser Permanente actually has regular doctor's office hours, like most people, and it makes it difficult for me when I work in Rockville to get to see my personal physician. So I often will email him or call the nurse advice line and go over to Kensington for my lunch break and run in there and see a physician there if I'm not feeling well or if I need to get something done. And my physician back in Annapolis is able to see the care that I got from the physician in the Kensington Center.
Okay. Now, we're talking Metro D.C. I know you're involved outside of Metro D.C. You have a strong presence in California, if I'm not mistaken. How about somewhere in between?
Yeah, absolutely. Kaiser Permanente is in Northern California, Southern California, Hawaii, Colorado, Portland, Oregon, Atlanta, Georgia, and here in the Mid-Atlantic states. So we're kind of all over the the United States, but it's very local in some areas more than others. The interesting thing is, here in the Mid-Atlantic states, approximately 10% of the federal employees are with Kaiser Permanente. But as you move west, that penetration rate grows significantly. When you get to California, you see over 45% of the federal employees in California are with Kaiser Permanente.
Great. And if you're talking about somebody well-traveled, somebody just came in that is, Tammy Flanagan.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. Good to see you. I hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving week.
We sure did. What else did as well?
All righty, Tammy. So we were just talking initially about how an HMO works, but more specifically how Kaiser does. And we mentioned that with the medical records that you have, it sounds pretty slick. But if somebody was not in Kaiser but wanted to join Kaiser, could they transfer their medical records over electronically? And John says, yes, pretty much. He didn't say 100%.
I guess it depends on how they're stored initially at their other provider.
And the volume of them. And in most cases, we'll scan them in. So we will capture the information. But what's very different about our medical record system is the fact that we actually use the data. And it allows our physicians to practice evidence-based data. They know the outcomes of different types of care or medicine that they prescribe. And that information is gathered so we can produce evidence-based medicine and deliver care the way that people are supposed to get it.
Yeah, and it's all kind of under one roof and one-stop shopping, which makes it very convenient for a lot of people. I noticed Kaiser's really making a presence in the D.C. area recently, because I know if a year ago, maybe or 2 years, you've opened some new facilities, and this year there's one in Tyson's opening up or already opened?
That's correct.
And yep, maybe
we were
another?
Just mentioning that. Yep, yeah. Tyson's opened up in August.
Yep.
And Gaithersburg opened up back in March of this past year. And we're actually opening up another super hub, which is like Tyson's and Gaithersburg in Baltimore, Southeast Baltimore, in the March timeframe. And we're currently renovating Largo, which will ultimately be our largest medical center in the Mid-Atlantic states, to be reopened in the summer of 2013.
Yeah, I love your ads where they talk about people who are moving into the area as new hires or, you know, transfer employees, where they can come to Kaiser if they don't know what doctor to use or what dentist to use. Everybody's right there. So you have a built-in kind of group of physicians and providers that can help you out and serve your needs. So I think this area is a very good one, since we have so many people transferring in and out of here through military and government service on a day-to-day basis. So that's probably a smart move as well. So I think it's, but the one question I always have about HMOs is, if I'm in something like the granddaddy, you know, Blue Cross plan or that type of fee for service coverage, what do I have to prepare for if I'm moving from that type of a health coverage to an HMO? Because I think a lot of people are afraid. They have a fear of HMOs because they feel that it's going to be more restrictive in some way, or just isn't going to meet their needs the way that a fee-for-service plan is. So what are some of the things that maybe somebody would have to consider if they're thinking about moving from traditional, you know, fee-for-service coverage where you can choose your own providers to something like Kaiser Plan?
Well, there's a pretty big difference is between the two plans as far as benefits concerned or networks are concerned. Is Blue Cross Blue Shield has both in and out of network benefits, where Kaiser Permanente just has the in network benefits. So you need to stay within our system. So that's the biggest difference as far as the benefits are concerned. But the other big difference is about the way you get your care. That's the bigger and more important difference. With Kaiser Permanente, when you choose your personal physician, you're able to go to him or her, and when they see you, they're going to send you out to a specialist within our network. But that connection is still there with that electronic medical record. So when they send you to see that specialist, that specialist
already has your background.
Has your background and knows exactly what kind of care you're receiving, medications you're on, and so forth. And more importantly, your primary care physician hears back from that specialist and sees the type of care that you're getting.
So it's very coordinated.
So it's coordinated, mm-hmm. And it's connected.
That should give some feeling of confidence or security to someone, knowing that their medical records are all in one place, so that they're not fearful of being over-diagnosed or medicated in some way, that, that their doctors are aware of what they have going on. So
that's correct.
That's a plus, big plus.
And then on the outside, which is what you asked about as well, on the outside, you lose that connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
When your primary care physician sends you out to that specialist, that's what's broken about healthcare today, is that specialist is now caring for you, and your primary care physician doesn't have that connection, no longer can coordinate your care. And when that primary and that specialist sends you out for your next point of care, often your primary care physician doesn't know what that is, and now you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You're on your own.
It's up
to
you to
that
bring
care.
Your list of medications and bring your list of other doctors you're seeing. Because I remember taking my parents, especially, who had multiple health problems, you know, towards the end of their life, and you have to kind of carry their medical history around in their wallets in order to do that. So this eliminates that worry or that fear. And speaking of specialists.
Yes. Now let's get the physician side of this. Good morning.
Hi.
And welcome to For Your Benefit. And I know I'm going to mess up how you pronounce your last name. Dr. Fez?
Fazane Sabi.
Fazane. Okay, right. All right. Thank you. And an OBGYN, but you also the site lead at the new Gaithersburg Super Hub.
That's right.
So you understand how all this works. Not that John doesn't, but John is there. You're there, but you're there every day. So you're excited about it?
I'm very.
Of course you are.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you. And so you can lend the medical side now. Not that John can, not that Tammy can, but
I think this is great to have different perspectives on a healthcare plan, because this is something that when you go out to the health fairs to talk to the reps, you don't get this kind of investment in the health plan. So we're happy to have you here and have a chance for you to share with us some of the things that maybe prospective health plan shoppers who might be considering Kaiser need to know about this type of health coverage and what Kaiser specifically has to offer. So we're happy to have you.
You know, Tammy, I'll say that when you talk about benefits and coverage, OPM does a great job at making sure federal employees have rich benefits and good rates. When you go to get a service, you're going to be covered. And it really doesn't matter what plan you're with as far as coverage, you're going to be covered. There's a benefit for that service. It comes down to rates and co-pays and co-insurance and deductibles and decisions around managing your money.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of parity there, though. All the plans are good.
Right.
When you take the parity away, when you take all of that and put it to the side, what you have left with is a decision you have around how you get your health care delivered.
Mm-hmm. And how much is it going to cost?
Yep.
Today, health care is really becoming a cost issue for a lot of families, because federal employees haven't had a pay raise going on now 3 years. And so this is one place where they can possibly save some money and not jeopardize their health care, but still have quality health care. So I think people this year in particular are probably really looking at different health plans to see if that's a way they can ease up on their financial burdens for next year.
Yeah, agreed.
When you all do health fairs, is there a top five questions that are asked? Is there a commonality of one or two or three that somebody, if they come to your booth, they have an interest? But if they ask a question, they really have an interest.
Sure.
So you got a top one, two, or three that you hear often?
Yeah, I mean, we have done many different health fairs. We work very closely with Montgomery County Public Schools, and we participate in their back-to-school fair. We have done many volunteer community activities. And I think the top two things that are of interest are diabetes and hypertension. And then we work a lot with kids. And one of the prevailing things that's out there is childhood obesity. And that's something that we all have to work on together as a team. Otherwise, it's going to be a huge health cost and a tragedy to our growing kids.
When John and I were talking out in the proverbial green room, we talked about that you all have health benefit programs or to cut down on the diabetes or the obesity. What else does one work on? I suppose you, and I won't suppose, I know you do. You represent people that are very young, early stages in their federal career, and maybe mid-career, maybe pre-retirement. So I would imagine each group probably has somewhat of a different need. At the beginning, you don't know what you don't have, but you want to make sure you can work against it. And then by the time you're pre-retirement, some of the maladies are not entirely defined, but more defined than they were when you were 25. Mm-hmm. So how do you work with those groups? Let's take the young group. And do they have an interest in it?
So I think one of the biggest things with the younger group is that for the most part, they're healthy. And they are concentrating on building their lives, you know, building their houses, building their relationships, getting their career going. And unfortunately, you know, health is not top on their radar because luckily it doesn't have to be. But one of the things that we have that is very unique to our system is we have ways of connecting with these young people that doesn't take them away from the other things that they're doing. They can access us through their mobile app. So on their smartphone, they have access to us, that they have access to the physicians, they have access to their labs, and we also reach out to them and make sure that they come and see us at least once a year. And so in our program, we strongly believe in preventive care. And from the very beginning, we build those relationships. So then in the middle of the night, if they wake up with a sinus infection or something else going on, they already know us and we know them, and we can take care of us and get them back to the lives that they're building.
Would you recommend for a younger person the standard option would be sufficient as opposed to high option? Or what are the differences between the two levels of Kaiser coverage?
So great question. And I often answer that question with without putting age barriers on it, because in reality, it comes down to utilization, not age. You can have a young person that uses healthcare often, and you can have an older person that doesn't use it often. So I'm really not big around putting age barriers around which plan is right. It's more about utilization. Both plans are have the same benefits. They have the same the same coverage.
Same facilities. Yep. You can go to the same Kaiser facilities, yep, no matter, yep, which option you're in.
Yep. You can be on the standard option, and Dr. Salby will still see you. So it's important to remember one's not better than the other, mm-hmm, plan. It comes down, again, to what I was mentioning earlier about managing your money. Mm-hmm. If you use health insurance more often, you might prefer the higher option because it's a higher premium out of your paycheck, but a lower copay when you go to use it. It's that simple. A standard option is also that simple. It's a lower copay, I mean premium, lower premium. In fact, it's the lowest priced HMO available to federal employees with a higher copay when you go to use it.
Are the copays a dollar amount or a percentage, or is it both?
They're copays.
Yeah,
they're
a dollar amount.
A huge benefit to being with us is that you know what you're going to pay. It's very transparent when you get a service. So if you're on the high option and you go to see a primary care physician, you'd pay $10. For a specialist, you'd pay $20. Very, very low copays.
Sure. And so once you've paid your premium, you're almost done. You know, yeah. It's very small out-of-pocket.
Yep, yep. The out-of-pocket maximums are pretty much insignificant. It's very difficult to hit with such low copays.
And is that true also with prescriptions, or is that a percentage co-insurance?
Nope, the prescriptions are also flat copays, and in fact, very inexpensive and very convenient. You know, when you go to see your primary care physician or your specialist and they prescribe you that medicine, they in the medical record. So I guess to back up a little bit here too is all the exam rooms have computers in them. So in the exam room, they're working on the computer with you right there. And when they prescribe that medicine, they have a button they can click on that says fill now. And that goes directly downstairs to the pharmacy. So when you leave your doctor's office on your way out, you're walking out with your prescription, and the price is lower too. All right. for that particular way of filling them.
That's convenient.
We've built a nice base here, and I think our listeners should call in.
Yeah.
And the only one way that they can call in, 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. Remember, today is November 26, 2012. We're on Eastern Time till about 10:58. If you're listening after that time, which many people do, this is rebroadcast 30 to 60 times in the month. So don't call us after that time, but please call us before, and we'll talk about how you can get to us email-wise. But again, 202-465-3080. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just figured it was a good time after we laid the groundwork.
There's one group I didn't want to leave out. I know Bob was going through the different types of employees, but we have, and I've, for some reason lately, I've been focusing on retirees. And I know Kaiser comes up a lot when I talk to retirees because it's convenient, number one. Number two, it has good pricing in the standard and the high option. And it also offers a Medicare Advantage plan and a Medicare Advantage for federal employees. So could you speak to that a little bit and help people understand how people who are over 65 and retired who have Medicare or can enroll in Medicare, how that works with Kaiser and what advantage is there to enrolling in Medicare if you already have an HMO?
Sure. In fact, it's a Medicare Plus plan at Kaiser Permanente here in the Mid-Atlantic states. So what that means is that unlike most of the other FEHBP plans, you do not suspend your commercial membership or your commercial plan.
So you stay in the federal health plan under Kaiser, just like you normally would. You don't have to change anything.
That's exactly the big question
that comes up. Do I have to drop out or suspend?
That's correct.
So no, you just stay in Kaiser.
Which is unlike anybody else. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, if you buy Part B, you are then eligible for the Medicare Plus plan.
Okay. So you'd have to be in Medicare A, hospital insurance, and B, outpatient or doctor's coverage.
That's correct. That's correct. And there's no additional cost to being in the plus plan.
Other than paying for Medicare Part B.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep, that's exactly right. And what that does is it lowers the copays on either your high or standard option, whichever plan you're enrolled in. So, and on the high option, it reduces copays in most and many benefits to zero.
Wow.
And in the standard option, it reduces your copays
to a lowered amount.
Mm-hmm.
You have a funny story about that. I was at a NARF meeting. NARF is the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. And there was a married couple at my table who were both probably in their 80s, but they had remarried later in life. They had both lost their spouses and they got remarried in probably in their late 60s, early 70s. And they both had Kaiser. But the husband had enrolled in Medicare A and B and he was in the plus plan and the wife had elected not to. And she said, now that they're in their later years, and they looked healthy, but they had health problems, both of them. And she says, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have picked up the Part B, because when he goes, he hardly pays anything. And when she goes, she still pays her normal. I mean, she can still have that without Medicare, but she's paying a higher out-of-pocket expense for her medical care. So I thought that was a good example of showing how Medicare worked with Kaiser in a family situation where he had self-only coverage with the Medicare, and then she had her own coverage under Kaiser, but without the Medicare.
Yep. And it's a personal preference. Mm-hmm. People ask all the time, and you've been to an ARF meeting, so yeah. You know they love the guidance. It's every situation's different,
sure.
And you know, knowing that Part B comes with a penalty if you don't buy it when you turn 65, it's really difficult to help coach people because you don't know if they're going to move out of the area.
Is that plus plan explained in Section 9 of the brochure? Because I know in Section 9 of every federal health plan brochure talks about coordinating that plan with Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
So is there coverage on that in Section 9? You could refer people to look
correct.
At the Kaiser brochure.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay,
how does somebody contact Kaiser? What's the web address and what's the general phone number?
So the general phone number, the web address is kp.org.
KP as in Kaiser Permanente.
Yep, kp.org /feds. Bob's been training me for a long time to do this slowly.
Yes.
kp.org /feds. And depending on whether or not you're a current Kaiser Permanente member or a potential Kaiser Permanente member, I would suggest you go there because there's telephone numbers accordingly.
Great. It looks like we got a phone call. Andrew, do we have a phone call?
Looks like he's in the midst of a phone call.
Okay, I'm sorry.
He's still screening the call. So.
All righty.
So one of the things that we can also talk to you about is some of the things we're really proud of. Recently, NCQA, which is a national association that measures the quality of health plans, came out with their ratings, and they ranked Kaiser Permanente in the Mid-Atlantic states number one in quality.
Wow.
For health plans.
That's quite an accomplishment.
It's
because
huge.
Because that's a nationwide rating service, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. Out of 475 plans in the nation, they ranked us number 15.
Wow.
So we are extremely excited and very proud of that.
That's worth mentioning.
Yep, absolutely.
Do that again. Come on, pat yourself on the back one more time. No, I'm serious.
Yeah, NCQA, a national organization that ranks us for quality, has ranked us number one in the Mid-Atlantic states for quality care. So it is very exciting. And a lot of that work is attributed to what our physicians have accomplished in the technology that helps them and leverages them to deliver care. And I'll ask Dr. Sabi to share some of the in-reach and outreach programs that help us attribute those scores.
So I think it's always nice to get these accolades and be recognized for the hard work that we're doing. But the question is, well, why does this matter? And what is it that this means to the person who's listening? And what it means is, you know, we work very hard to make sure that women who need their mammograms get them on time. We make sure that women who need their cervical screening exams, that they get their blood work done for their diabetes. What does this mean? It means that if someone's going to get cancer, we reach it earlier. We can potentially cure it with some of the surgeries and treatments that we can give. So mothers and daughters, you know, cousins, wives, they're actually living longer because we are reaching out to them. The other thing that it means is we are finding other things. So one example that I love to share is we actually reach out to all of our women between the ages of 21 and 65 and make sure that they are up to date on their cervical cancer screening, so their pap smears. And I had one of these clinics once, and we had 12 women who came in who were overdue for their pap smears. Out of the 12 women, two walked in because we reached out to them. So they otherwise were going about their business, doing their own thing. And they both had extremely high blood pressures. One of them hadn't been in for a year to see us. And the last time she was in to see us had a blood pressure of 139 over 75, which is kind of borderline being high, but nothing that, you know, you would lose sleep over. She came in and her blood pressure was 168 over 113.
Wow, she was waiting for a heart attack, it sounds like.
A heart attack or a stroke. Yes, and had we not reached out to her to make her come in for her pap smear, we wouldn't have found out that her blood pressure was so high. And in doing this, in being able to provide all of these quality screenings, we're actually able to help and take care of our patients from head to toe, not just the one thing that we're screening for.
Wow. That outreach that Dr. Sabi's referring to is the technology that allows for that. Our physicians pull up a panel of their patients and can look by screening what patients haven't done their screenings and see that these 16 people haven't had their pap smears. Mm-hmm. And they'll click on that number 16. It exports a list of those patients, and they hand that list to their nurse for what we call outreach. We invite them to come to the center because they haven't done it. Mm-hmm. But there's also in-reach, and I'll ask Dr. Sabi to expand on that.
So the other great thing is because all of our records are in one place and we have access to all that information, if someone comes in to get their glasses checked and we notice that they haven't had their mammogram, they haven't had their cervical cancer screening, they haven't had their blood work for their diabetes, we at that point can immediately take care of that and make sure that they have those screenings done at that point.
Okay, you have a very calming voice, and you speak in terms of
bedside manner. I was like, ready to tell everything.
all three of you. It's great to sit here and listen to you. So anyway, so this outreach for, I like this outreach thing. So that, in other words, if they pick up on a issue, a trend, then they can go, whoop, we need to contact this person and bring them in, where maybe others couldn't do that.
That's correct. And then, you know, if somebody goes in for an optical visit to our Gaithersburg Center and they pull up their medical record and they see right there and then that, you know, they haven't gotten a screening done, that person that could be, you know, the person at check-in sees that on your medical record, they'll say something to you. They'll approach you right there and then and say, we see that, you know, it comes right up on your medical, it flashes up that this person is overdue. And they'll try and schedule. They'll say, hey, you haven't had your physical. Let's get you scheduled for that.
Let me ask you a question. I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but you're very big in certain areas. What if I'm with you, but I'm outside of that area and I have something come up? What do I do?
So if you're outside of our service area,
visiting somewhere,
yeah, I'm visiting someplace other than D.C., California. Maybe I'm up wherever I am. I'm not near a Kaiser Center.
You're always covered. You know, we always recommend that you call our 24-hour advice nurse line. They'll guide you to the closest care to you, and you're always covered under emergency services 100%.
But let me give you another example. So when we were talking about building those relationships between our patients and our physicians, and let's say that someone gets chronic sinus infections or gets chronic bladder infections and they're out of our area. Because we have all of that information in our system, what they can do is call us from wherever they are. We look up in the system what infection they've had, what antibiotics had worked for them, and our nurses and our emergency room physicians can actually call in an order for a prescription for them wherever they are in the country to the local pharmacy and remain within our care. And all of that is recorded in our medical record. So then their primary physician can follow up with them later to make sure that that worked and that treatment is helping them.
Okay, and then one other thing I usually ask all the guests outside the U.S., because we have, you know, one group.
Yeah, there's a lot of retirees and employees both who live and work outside of the U.S., which I usually say HMOs are not necessarily ideal for that, but maybe you have something else to say about that.
Well, again, in an emergency, you're covered no matter where you are in the world. So, and that's with all the health plans. So, but we also... the electronic medical record comes into play huge here because, and I'll let Dr. Sabi expand on it, but, you know, our physicians have federal employees that are overseas
everywhere
that they communicate with and fill prescriptions for on a regular basis through email.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have, as an OBGYN, I have a lot of young women who are my patients and a lot of people who travel all across the world. And the beauty of our app on the smartphones, the beauty of our email system is they can email me from anywhere across the world and ask me questions. If they have something going on, I can help them work through it. A lot of times when you change the time zone, you have to change the timing of your medications. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you don't, and most women out there are shaking their heads saying, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, there's certain medications that you have to take exactly the same time. And if you take it every morning at 8 a.m. when you're in the District of Columbia, you can't take it 8 a.m. every morning when you're in Istanbul doing business. Mm-hmm. And so often that's one of the things that I get in the questions. So they email me and we work through that and they're fine. Sometimes I actually do recommend that they go and seek medical care. And mm-hmm. because I recommended it and it's in their medical record, it's covered. It's covered.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So even somebody on a TDY for 6 months could still stay in the HMO plan and still have service by email or by the app. So that's kind of cool.
So and since we're talking so much about the electronic technology too, there's actually two different systems we're talking about within Kaiser Permanente, the electronic medical record that our physicians use every day to care for their patients, and the personal health record that our members have access to through kp.org. So my health manager is the personal health record that allows somebody to get secure email to and from their physician, check labs, refill some prescriptions, set appointments, print children immunization records. That's always a favorite of mine. But it's to do this communication with Kaiser Permanente, you actually go and you log on to the site, kp.org, onto My Health Manager. You can send an email to your primary care physician or any specialist that you've been seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll get an email back at your personal email letting you know that the physician has responded and that you should go log back into my health manager, and then you can read the physician's email. So it's all very secure. It's not an email going back and forth directly.
So
it's housed
exposed
on the site.
Right. That's good.
Okay, we walk through the, I know you don't like this, the age thing. So we did the beginning career. Now let's do mid-career. I understand utilization, but now I'm mid-career. Maybe I'm married, maybe I'm not. Maybe I've started family, maybe I'm not. How is that group attracted to this? But before we do that, we have a call. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Everything's good. And you?
All right. Listen, I have a question for the gentleman, and that is the only time I enrolled in an HMO was a GW health plan. And what really ticked me off is that every time I saw them, they gave me a physician's assistant and not a doctor. Is that the case with Kaiser?
If you don't mind, this is Dr. Sabi, and I will actually answer that question for you.
Yeah.
We have all physicians. Some of us are supported by nurse practitioners and physician assistants, but all of our members are partnered with a physician, and all of our men have their own primary care physician. Our women not only have their own primary care physician, but they also have an OBGYN. And what we do is we keep those groups very small. So every doctor only has a small group of patients that they take care of. And as satisfying as that is for you to have your own personal doctor, from a physician's standpoint, it's actually pretty cool because I have my own group of patients that I get to know and follow.
Okay, that's very reassuring. Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call.
Calling.
All righty. All right, John, we did it again, huh?
One for one.
Okay. Well, now we need number two at 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080.
We're right in the middle of open season, so this is a good time for people to call.
Right in the middle of open season and right in mid-career. So let's go back to mid-career. Why am I coming up to you at the booth? Let's pretend I'm 30 years younger than I am. John, what can you do for me?
Well, again, a lot of this comes down to convenience. You know, when you come to one of our medical centers, you can get all of your services in that one place. You know, and that connectivity between those medical centers or between those services is critically important. In fact, The time and the money that you save by coming to our medical center, I wish I could put a number to it and tell you, but you know, when Tammy talked about earlier about, you know, federal employees not getting pay increases for 3 years, which, you know, and you're looking to try and save money, think about the way you get care today outside of Kaiser Permanente and what you need to do when you go to see your primary care physician and that physician wants you to go get labs or x-rays, what you do with those labs or x-rays and how you get them to the physician. If that physician decides to send you to a specialist, how long does that take? I can tell you the industry average is 28 days. And now that specialist has asked you to get labs or an x-ray. So now you're getting duplicate things done. And you've spent a month or more.
And you're waiting, yeah, to heal.
And you spent a month or more doing
these things. That's
happened to me
before with getting x-rays. And by the time it gets back to the doctors, my foot's been broken for 2 weeks and I haven't had it treated yet.
Yep.
And it's almost healed by the time I get a cast.
Yep.
So it was
so
crazy.
Let me give you an example of Dr. Sabi's. She's the site lead of Gaithersburg. When you go there and you see your primary care physician and they want you to get a lab or an x-ray, you're getting it right there and then. They're telling you to go across the hall or upstairs or downstairs, get the lab, get the x-ray, and come back to see me. They're going to see you. And now they've decided that you need to see a specialist. They can actually see the specialist schedule on the computer and book the appointment while you're in the exam room. But wait a minute, Tammy, you know what? I think you need to see a specialist now. If you can do it, often we can book it same day,
right,
next day, within 3 days. On average, a Kaiser Permanente member sees a specialist within 7 days. So that saves you time and that saves you money. And also, if it is more urgent or emergent, there's the primary care physician has the ability to call an on-call specialist. And there you go.
And actually, I mean, I think one thing that we haven't talked about is how our system is completely different from any other system that's out there. In our system, there are no barriers between primary care physicians and our specialists. So I don't have to worry about billing. I don't have to worry about different computer programs, different offices. Let's say that someone comes and sees me and I am concerned about something. I can actually pick up the phone and call one of our specialists and they can look up the same medical record. They can pull up from wherever they are the imaging studies that were done. They can look at that CT scan. They can look at that ultrasound and they can easily give me medical advice that is part of the medical record. And my patient does not have to drive all the way out to see a specialist. I can take care of all of that for them. Nowhere else can they do that because there are medical, legal, and billing things that they have to worry about outside of our system. And so for someone who's, let's say, in their late 30s, early 40s, what does this mean to them? You know, as you start getting, and I'm right there, you know, all of a sudden things start hurting more. All of a sudden you start paying attention to your body a little bit more. Things don't work the way they used to. And you start asking questions. And that's where, you know, that bond is really important. And that relationship is really important to build with your physician. And that is what we have to offer our patients that no one else can.
I know you two didn't practice that answer, but you knocked the cover off the ball.
Wait a minute. It gets even better. While that patient was sitting in the exam room with Dr. Sabi, and she called the specialist and did the consult online, and the patient got labs, x-rays, everything, they paid the $10 copay that they went to see Dr. Sabi, and that's it.
Yeah. Wow.
And they got consult by a specialist, they got their labs, they got their x-rays, and they paid $10 on the high option.
That would have otherwise been three different visits.
Yes. So to answer your question, Bob, that's the difference.
I can't ask another one after that. You've got utilization in there, you've got attractiveness, and you've got care, maybe in reverse order, care first, right?
What about that patient that you contacted to come in and she had the high blood pressure? What if she hadn't come in, and what if she would have had that stroke? Would she have called 911, or would she have had to call Kaiser, or how does it work when you have a true life or death emergency happen?
That's an excellent question. So if there is truly a life-threatening emergency, we absolutely want our members to call 911, go to the closest hospital, and get the immediate care that they need. If there's any question and they're not sure what to do and they are safe and stable enough, then we encourage them to call our nurse line that's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And at this advice line, we actually have registered nurses who have access to the entire medical record. And we also have emergency room physicians right there. There are some things, like the example of the recurrent bladder infection or the recurrent sinusitis, we can actually take care of it without someone having to come in and be seen. However, if someone does need to be seen, we can actually take care of a lot of things. About 80% of the things that normally go to emergency rooms, we can actually take care of in our prolonged observation units, or what we call the CDUs. What does that mean? Why is that important? You don't have to sit for 6 or 8 hours in a crowded emergency room where you show up and they don't know anything about you. By coming to our urgent care and our clinical decision unit, we know your entire history. Mm-hmm. We know what tests have been done. We know what advice the cardiologist and the pulmonologist have given. And so with that, we have the tools and the knowledge to take care of you faster, probably better because we're doing it with knowledge, and coordinated, because once you're in our urgent care and clinical decision unit, our doctors set up the follow-up for you and also send a note to your doctor to make sure they know what's going on with you.
So you're well taken care of that way. The other question I was thinking about is with dental and vision care, because I know a lot of federal employees carry supplemental dental plans and vision plans. But with Kaiser, do you have that included with health insurance? Is that something else you get under one roof?
Yep. You get your optical visits at most of our, many of our medical centers, and includes discount on vision as well on the hardware. And in fact, our new hubs and both Cap Hill, Tyson's, and Gaithersburg all have vision centers. So, and you get discounts there at those. And then we do have dental as well. It's a discount dental program through Dominion Dental. You have to use a participating provider, and you get discounts on it, and it's a $30 copay for preventive.
I think that's important for some, especially families, to know who have children who are starting to age out of the supplemental dental and vision plans, because those end at 22. But with health plans now under healthcare reform, we can keep our kids covered till they turn 26. So they would still have those benefits through Kaiser until they turn 26, which is could be a plus for families with college age kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Okay, moving in that direction. Now we're pre-retirees. If you all have the same answer, I'm quitting. It's not going to get better than that. But so a pre-retiree, maybe the kids are gone. Maybe you do have more issues, like we don't run upstairs like we used to, and we don't know what we don't know.
Or we're thinking about retirement and maybe moving out of the area. Or becoming a snowbird.
Oh.
Maybe he'll be living in Florida and, you know, still maybe working part-time in D.C. or something like that. So that's another area where I think there's some confusion with some people.
Well, Tammy, if you move to Florida, you're going to be sad because you can't be a Kaiser Permanente member anymore.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately, we're not in Florida.
How far south can we go?
Northern Virginia right now.
Okay.
So, you know, for pre-retirees, you know, again, it comes down to convenience. The options, again, are around utilization. It's very difficult to talk generally about a particular
age group.
But, you know, it comes down to the quality of care that you're going to get. And Go ahead, Jen.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know a former retired federal employee who right this weekend, she made a trip up to Northern Virginia because she didn't want to give up Kaiser. She moved to Portsmouth, Virginia, which I guess is outside of one of your areas. But every time she needs to see a doctor, she comes and stays at her friend's house who's still living in the area, and she goes to her Kaiser facility. She doesn't want to give it up. Mm-hmm. So I guess if there's a will, there's a way. Some people will stay with that network, even if they're not necessarily living in that particular area. So I guess that's still doable for some people.
Well, you're supposed to live or work in the service area.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. I won't say who she is.
Although I have a number of clients, if you will, that move outside the area, but they want to go to, they're not Kaiser, but they, you know, they go and they do the different docs and they come up for medical vacation. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a vacation. Medical trip.
A lot of people do that. They keep their same doctors where they lived and they don't want to leave that area.
We get a lot of that from our members. And you know, J.D. Power, which you may be familiar with, often thought about as cars, but they measure much more in service industries than just cars, ranked Kaiser Permanente in the Mid-Atlantic States number one in customer service for the fourth year in a row.
Wow.
So our members are telling us that we're doing a good job.
The members can actually get through when they call the phone number. That's a good sign.
Right. And so, with our mobile apps, they don't even have to call the phone numbers. They have access to us in many different ways.
That's also very convenient.
So, for the retirees, I'll let CMS do the speaking for or the talking for us. CMS ranks healthcare organizations on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, and they recently ranked Kaiser Permanente in the Mid-Atlantic States a 5-star health plan for quality. That's the only health plan in the Mid-Atlantic States that's been ranked with a 5-star quality ranking.
That's the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services?
Yes, that's correct.
And what do those stars mean? Because I see those on some of the Medicare Advantage plans. And how do people interpret those? What are you actually ranking on?
So there's actually 55 measures.
Wow.
that they rank on. And those measures fall into categories like preventive care, managing chronic conditions, member satisfaction, customer service, and pharmacy benefits.
Yeah. It's hit all 5 of those,
yep.
That's for sure.
So we're very proud of that. You know, when the Center for Medicaid and Medicare, you know, gives you that 5-star rating, it's a big deal. In fact, majority of the health plans at Kaiser Permanente across the United States received a 5-star rating.
Okay. I think we've covered beginning, mid, and retire. What are we looking at into the future for your growth? You're well entrenched in the metro DC area in California, but are you looking at going outside the areas? Are you going to build any more hubs in the local area?
Yep. We're actually building a hub in Southeast Baltimore that's due to open in March or the spring for sure. I think it's March. And then our Largo Center is being expanded and will actually be our largest medical center, our largest hub. When it's reopened, it's not closing, but when it's renovated, mm-hmm. the renovations are finished this summer. So we're really excited about that expansion.
You're not from around Baltimore, are you?
I live in Crofton, so.
Okay, because you just said something, really said Baltimore. You did. I'm born and raised around here, but Baltimore definitely has a twang to it. certain words. Like
Pittsburgh does, right. Yeah, absolutely.
Timmy's from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, so we're looking at growth as well. We're looking at what we got. We got about, what do we got, Andrew? About 3 or 4 more minutes? 4 more minutes. Final comments?
Within the last year, we've added another 350 physicians. And I'll actually ask you to talk for a few minutes about their credentials.
Absolutely. So we have not only phenomenal primary care physicians, but we have almost all of the specialties. We have a whole new group of pediatric subspecialists, including cardiologists, neurologists. We're going to get oncologists and gastroenterologists, so we can cover the spectrum from newborns all the way to our palliative care physicians who are there to work as a team, not only with the member who has a terminally terminal illness, but also with their family. And so the whole spectrum is covered. And with our new 350 physicians that we've hired in the last few years, we have brought in exceptionally well-trained physicians from all across the country. And I don't like naming all the schools because I'll name mine. I went to GW and I'm very proud of GW, but, you know, Harvard, a lot of the Ivy League schools, we're attracting a lot of physicians because the world of medicine is changing. And this system that we have actually gives physicians the tools and the network to truly be able to practice medicine without having to worry about all the distractions of billing and marketing and all of those other things.
I guess that would be a big attraction to a physician who would otherwise be in private practice and almost have to be a business owner and a physician, where this way they just do what they're trained to do, and probably also protected under the legal umbrella of Kaiser, so they don't have to worry about the malpractice insurance that sometimes drives physicians out of practice.
Or it drives physicians to practice medicine in a way that they otherwise wouldn't if they didn't have to worry about the billing and the
fees. I think that's an important thing to keep in mind.
My clients with medical billing just tear their hair out. They usually sub it out to somebody else, unless they're big enough to do it in-house because it's so complex. Then the other question I might have, and Andrew's given me the high sign. Thank you, Andrew. If you were to look at your growth area, would you say it's with pre-retirees? As we talk, the ability to do one-stop shopping, if you don't mind me saying that, would seem to me to be much more attractive to the pre-retiree or the retiree, where they don't spend forever, like you say, 28 days going bouncing around like the proverbial pinball in a pinball machine. So you go to one place and I won't say you're done, but you got your answers a lot quicker. Do you see that as a growth area?
Actually, all areas are growth areas for us.
I thought you'd say
and,
that.
And well, the standard option is extremely attractive. It's the lowest priced HMO. So available to federal employees, so that a lot of the low utilizers, whether young or old, go to that plan a lot. So.
Okay, and we have about 30 seconds.
All right.
And then we get cut off.
Okay, for additional information, you can go to kp.org/feds. That's kp.org/feds. We're also hosting a couple of webinars on the next few Wednesdays at 10 a.m., and you can go to bit.ly/KP webinars. That's bit.ly/KP webinars.
Okay, and thanks for coming. Thanks for everybody for listening. I am going to listen to this show, and I'm going to take dictation lessons. Thank you. Or diction lessons. Diction. Bye-bye. See you next week.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.